It's been my privilege during the last 30 days to meet with missionaries and with members in Great Britain, in South America, South Africa, here in the North American continent. Always as we meet, we find a common question that confronts us. Members of the church often hear, especially our missionaries, this statement: if there's anything I resent, it is those that say that they are right and everybody else is wrong. They object, of course, to the declaration that concerning the exclusive delegation of authority in this church. Now, I understand, of course, why one would feel that way. Nevertheless, I would say to him, hold on, think for a moment. Surely you can't believe that in the great, confusing variety of religious beliefs, that not one of them is true and is right. Such a proposition generates atheism. When I think of an atheist, I believe with Sister Pearson what she wrote in a verse dedicated to the atheist. God must have a huge sense of humor, so righteously to resist the temptation of turning the tables on your pretending that he doesn't exist. The other view, the one most wisely held, is that all of them are right, that they are all alike. If there's a typical response to our missionaries, it is, well, I already have a church. One is just as good as another. Doesn't matter really which one we belong to or if we belong to any. We'll all end up at the same place anyway. Surely no one who really thinks would hold to that position. Nevertheless, many people accept it when they wouldn't for a moment apply that or relate it to any other phase of their life. They would not, for instance, take the same position with regards to education. Who would not smile at a statement that all schools are alike, that one is just as good as another, and that a person deserves the same diploma no matter which school he attends or which course he takes or for how long? Would you agree to send a student just to any school, taking any variety of courses, and then award them a specialized degree, anything they wanted, architecture, law, medicine? Such an attitude would suggest that a man would be just as good a surgeon by not studying for it as he would by following the prerequisite courses. No person who's given real substantial thought would take such a position, and neither you nor I would want to be under the knife of a surgeon who had been trained, or maybe I should say untrained, in such a pattern. Isn't it strange then that so many are able to apply this view toward religion? They advocate, go to any school, take any course, or go to no school at all. We'll all end up in the same place with the same heavenly diploma. That just isn't reasonable, nor is it true. The position that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is the only true church upon the face of the earth is fundamental. Perhaps it would be more convenient and palatable and popular if we were to avoid it. Nevertheless, we are under a sacred obligation and a sacred trust to hold to it. It is not merely an admission, it is a positive declaration. It is so fundamental that we cannot yield on this point. Now, to those who think us uncharitable, we say that it was not devised by us. It was declared by him. For he gave commandments to the early brethren, and I quote, to lay the foundation of this church and to bring it forth out of obscurity and out of darkness, the only true and living church upon the face of the whole earth, with which I, the Lord, am well pleased, speaking unto the church collectively and not individually. Now, this is not to say that the churches, all of them, are without some truth. They have some truth, some of them, very much of it. They have a form of godliness. Often the clergy and adherents are not without dedication, and many of them practice remarkably well the virtues of Christianity. they are nonetheless incomplete. By his declaration, they teach for doctrines the commandments of men, and having a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. The gospel might be likened to the keyboard of a piano, a full keyboard with a selection of keys on which one trained can play variety without limit, a ballad to express love, a march to rally, a melody to soothe, and a hymn to inspire, an endless variety to suit every mood, to satisfy every need. How short-sighted it is then to choose a single key and endlessly tap out the monotony of a single note, or even two or three notes, when a full keyboard of limitless harmony can be played. How disappointing when the fullness of the gospel, the whole keyboard, is here upon the earth. The many churches tap on a single key. Now the note they stress may be essential to a complete harmony of religious experience, but it is nonetheless not all there is. It isn't the fullness. For instance, one taps on the key of faith healing to the neglect of many principles that would bring greater strength to faith healing itself. Another taps on an obscure key relating to the observance of the Sabbath, a key that would sound different indeed, played in harmony with the essential notes of the keyboard. A key used like that can get completely out of tune. Another repeats endlessly the key that relates to the mode of baptism and taps one or two other keys as though there were not a full keyboard. And again, the very key they use, essential as it is, just doesn't sound complete when played alone to the neglect of the others. Well, there are other examples, many of them, where parts of the gospel are endlessly stressed, churches build upon them, until alone they sound nothing like they would if blended with the full measure of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, we don't say that the key of faith healing, for example, is not essential. We not only recognize it, we rely on it and experience it, but it is not the gospel itself nor its fullness. We would never hold that baptism was not essential, absolutely essential, for it constitutes the official enrollment in the church and kingdom of God. If that key, however, is played alone, without the counterpart key of authority, the fullness and the harmony is gone, and it becomes dissonant. And without the key of faith and of repentance, it is meaningless. Perhaps worse, it is counterfeit. This happens when the authority we speak of is lacking. Now, we do not say they are wrong so much as we say that they are incomplete. The fullness of the gospel has been restored. The power and authority to act for him is present with us. The power and the authority of the priesthood rests upon this church, the Lord revealed, and I quote, "This greater priesthood administereth the gospel and holdeth the keys of the mystery of the kingdom, even the key of the knowledge of God. Therefore, in the ordinances thereof, the power of godliness is manifest, and without the ordinances thereof and the authority of the priesthood, the power of godliness is not manifest unto men in the flesh." Now in these last days, when the consummate power of evil moves against us, the great apostasy spoken of in the scripture moves to its inevitable conclusion. The Christian churches, who should be the bulwark against it, seem to provide little substance for their members or for their clergy. And we see the frightening specter of empty churches and clergy promoting causes that they, above all, should resist. In these last travels I mentioned, it has been frightening to me to see the churches closed and boarded up, weeds growing in the yards, are open but empty. We face the frightening thought of a generation raised without any context of Scripture. Now, it's not unusual to find people who take an interest in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints but give only casual attention to the ideal that the fullness of the gospel is here. They become attracted by a single key, a doctrine, often one with which they take immediate exception and object to. They investigate it by itself alone. They want to know all there is about it without reference, in fact, the specific objection and rejection of knowing about anything else. They want to hear that key played over and over again. It will give them little knowledge unless they see that there is a fullness. Other complementary ideals and doctrines present that give a warmth and a harmony and a fullness that draw at the right moment upon each key, which if played alone might seem discordant. Now that danger is not limited to investigators alone. Some members of the church who should know better pick out a hobby key or two and tap them incessantly to the irritation of those around them. They can dull their own spiritual sensitivities. They lose track that there is a fullness of the gospel and become as individuals, like many churches have become. They may reject the fullness in preference to a favorite note. This becomes exaggerated and distorted, leading them away into apostasy. Now, I counseled, think about this matter. More than that, I would urge you to pray about this matter. Thinking alone can be the basis for man's wisdom. There is another, more perfect manner of communication through the Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Paul, speaking to the Corinthians, said, "Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Any soul has the right, indeed the obligation, to make an appeal through prayer for the answer to this question: is there the true church? That is how it all began, you know, with a 14-year-old boy who went into a grove. Two questions: which of all the churches is true, and which should he join? There he experienced a marvelous vision: the Father and the Son, and the dispensation of the fullness of times was ushered in. Subsequently, the authority to act for him was restored and rests yet with this church. We heard in this meeting a prophet of God, Joseph Fielding Smith. I bear witness that he is a prophet of God. I have a witness of that. Jesus is the Christ. He lives. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is the only true and living church upon the face of this earth, of which I bear witness. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.